And so good to see you this morning, and I want to welcome you to the first Sunday of 2020, to the first decade of 2020. And if you're excited about that, would you give the Lord a big shout right now? We're so grateful. We love having a fresh start. We love having a new beginning. And how many of you are so thankful that you've been able to step out of 2019 and into 2020? Anybody in the house excited about that? It's been an incredible year of seeing God at work, and so grateful for this fresh start, this new beginning, the first Sunday of our new year. And I want to talk about vision. Vision. Vision is what you see that you give your life to. And we want 2020 vision. We want clarity from God. We want to make sure that what we see is from God, and what we're giving our lives to honors God and glorifies God and is in alignment with His purpose and plan. We launched Multiply in March of 2018, a one fund, 2-year missional initiative that we came together and sought the Lord, and we launched into this journey together. And the primary goal was 100% participation, that we would walk in this together. Our secondary goal was $75 million. And as we sought God and walked with God, as we were being wise stewards of what God had blessed us with and how God was growing us personally and growing us as a church family, God continued to allow us to multiply. Here at our Champions campus, we opened our community ministry center where God's doing a great work in and through that opportunity to meet needs on a first row basis where you're on the front lines of ministry. Here at our Champions campus, we were able to complete our phase one renovation and how God's used that and been such a blessing here on our campus. At Jersey Village, we also completed phase one renovation on our campus there. In Conroe, we had the privilege of purchasing the Kroger on I-45 in the 336 South Loop. God gave us that opportunity. And then we were able to move into our new campus at our North Klein location after being portable 5 years and 7 months, 1,995 days, 85 Sundays, just in case anyone was counting. And moved in on Easter Sunday, and it was a glorious experience. Just seeing God at work in and through Champion Force Baptist Church. And then, of course, we went through a difficult season on September the 8th when our senior pastor resigned. And it catapulted us as a church into a new season of life, a new season of ministry, and just seeking the Lord about what's next. Where do we go from here? That resignation was not anticipated, and it did catch us by surprise. And as a result, it just threw us in kind of a tailspin of really trying to identify where do we go from here. God, what do you have in store? And we know that nothing catches God by surprise, that anything that is over our head is beneath His feet. And we just ask God to show us where to go from here. God, show us what is next. And by the providence of God, we had the structure in place and the staff in position, our church family on mission to allow us to continue to stay on mission with God. And God is so blessed your obedience and what God has done in and through you. And we've given more than we've ever given in the history of Champion Forest Baptist Church. We've been so blessed to have baptized in 2019 545 people. We give God glory for that. We've been so blessed as the Lord has added to our numbers, even in the midst of transition. We've allowed God to move in such an extraordinary way that He has drawn people to Himself, and we've invested in people and invited people to become part of our church family. And God has blessed us with 722 new members in 2019. And we give Him praise and glory for that. Don't ever doubt for a moment the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against me." What the devil meant for harm, God has converted into good. Why is that? Because God always has the final say. And when you study church history over the centuries and look at all the church has been through all of these centuries, God is committed to preserving and protecting and propelling His church. And as we come into the year 2020, as we enjoy this first Sunday of this new year, this first Sunday of this new decade, we can still count on the faithfulness of Almighty God. And as our praise team led us so well, He is holy, holy, holy. And God is eternal and God is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you depended on Him in 2019, you can also depend on Him in 2020. Now, we had to walk through a difficult season and pursuing God related to our Kroger in Conroe. We had such a dream about what could be and what God was going to do through that ministry as we moved out of our small shopping center into that large building. And it's been tied up in litigation for months and pouring thousands upon thousands of dollars into that process. And then after much godly counsel, seeking the Lord and asking others to really speak into the process, we felt that it was right that we sell the Kroger and get out of that litigation that could have been tied up for years. And we said, God, we don't know why you brought us into that. We obeyed you. We purchased the Kroger, and now you provided a buyer. We've stepped out of it. We know that you have a purpose and plan for Conroe. God, you have a great work. This is one of the fastest growing cities in America, and you've called us to reach Conroe. So we know that you have something in store. And here's what we're learning about God. Though in 2019 we experienced some setbacks, God has used those setbacks to position us in 2020 for our comeback. We believe that God is still on His throne. We had the privilege this year as a church family to elect a pastor search committee to seek God for the shepherd He is providing for our next pastor. Can you believe we've only had three pastors in our 49-year history, and now a search committee ordained by God is mobilized to seek God to find our fourth shepherd to lead us forward. But I want to say this. In the midst of our transition, in the midst of seeking God and pursuing God, we are not hitting the pause button on fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission is still alive and well, and the Great Commission is still our mission as a church of the living God. So we're going to keep reaching people for Christ. We're going to keep investing in discipling people so that they, in turn, can reach others for Christ. And we're going to just sell out our lives and investing our lives to reaching people, discipling people, so they can become fully devoted, fully yielded, full court followers of Jesus Christ. So what I want to do in the next few moments as we dive into God's Word together is I want us to focus our lives on God's vision. Focus our lives on God's vision. And here's a phrase I want you to write down. Vision 2020, following Jesus every day. Vision 2020, following Jesus every day. Don't let this become a Sunday thing. Let this become an everyday passion and reality in your life. Vision 2020, if you want to walk in clarity and with God's hand upon your life, then commit your life to following Jesus every day. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Step one, become a follower of Jesus Christ. If you've never experienced that divine transaction where you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, if you've never been adopted into God's forever family, if you've never turned from sin and trusted in Jesus alone for salvation, we're going to invite you to take this first step in the right direction in 2020, the most important decision of your lifetime. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, we're going to invite you to go to our friendship room. To my right, your left, this back corner, we have prayer partners who will be there to assist you, and we are committed to helping you become a follower of Jesus Christ. We want you to know what we know, that Jesus came to save us from our sin and to set us free so that we could join God in his activity. And we want you to get in on that. We want you to have eternal security. We want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. We want you to have peace with God. We want you to know the Lord and grow in the Lord and go on mission with the Lord. And we want to help you make that decision. Step number two, after you become a follower of Jesus Christ, we want you to commit to following Jesus every day. Now look to somebody and say, every day. Every day. Commit to following Jesus every day. Maybe in 2019, you went through a difficult season in your life spiritually where you felt like you were just kind of drifting and just trying to coasting. Maybe you felt like you were at ease in Zion. Maybe you felt like you were lukewarm. You were neither hot, sold out the whole route, nor cold. You were just lukewarm, just casual in your Christianity. And so often we can meander into mediocrity. But that's not God's best for us. God wants us to follow Jesus every day. And over the next few Sundays, we're going to explore God's word to discover what it looks like to follow Jesus every day. So I invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now you can go online, any of our campuses, and you can review Philippians chapter 1 as we covered that in the month of November. Then we had our Christmas series, and now we're back in to the book of Philippians, Paul's love letter to the church at Philippi. Now, to just build the concept here, remember, Paul is under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman guard, and every 6 to 8 hours, a new guard comes in and is chained to Paul. Now, we preached about, can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul? Something's going to change in the relationship. And Paul led the whole palace guard to faith in Jesus Christ. So don't despise those difficult seasons in your life. God will use those in our lives to do something special to point people to Jesus Christ. We're now in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if you'll join me. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. Would you say that with me? Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So what does following Jesus every day look like? How can that become my new reality? Not just a Sunday thing, but an everyday thing. So what I want to do is give you three essentials this morning to following Jesus every day. You may want to write these down. Now, this is a very special day in my life personally and in my journey with Tanya. Today, we are celebrating with you our 29th wedding anniversary. And I want to say thank you, Tanya, for loving me the way Christ loves me. It's so amazing, and I don't want to go too far into the marriage journey, but one thing's been very interesting is whenever we started out in marriage, I was always burning up at night, wanting to turn that air down to 67. And she was always cold, wanting to turn the air up to 72 or 73. I would uncover, she would cover up. And something shifted. And I just don't know what's going on. But now, she's burning up and uncovering. I am freezing, and I have added an extra blankie, Brent, to my bedroom. And so now, she's freezing or burning up. I'm freezing. And if any of you can give us some godly counsel for this phase of our marriage, would you please see us right after the service? Tanya said, that's what you get, because every night when she would say, I'm so cold, I say, baby, I can only take off so much. You can cover up. And so guess what she's been saying to me now? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So back to exploring the three essentials of following Jesus every day. Here's essential number one. Apply the realities of your relationship with Jesus. Apply the realities of your relationship with Jesus. It's so powerful here in verse 1 of chapter 2, where Paul uses this loaded word, so. That's a short word, but it's a loaded word, so. If there is any encouragement in Christ, and he uses the word if as though it's conditional, well, of course there's encouragement in Christ. Any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. At first glance, it looks as though these are like optional add-ons to your life. But as you dig into God's Word, what you discover, these are realities of your relationship with Christ. You have to go back to chapter 1, verse 27, which we've covered before. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, verse 27. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. So when you read the word so, you go back to chapter 1, and he's referring back to that reality of living a life worthy of the gospel. What does that look like? It looks like standing firm in one spirit. It looks like striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. It looks like not being frightened by your opponents. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, we see where Paul says, make my joy complete. So as a result of these realities there in chapter 1, make my joy complete. Make my joy complete. And now we pick up in the if section here, verse 1. So if, which also can be the word since, and I think it's very appropriate here. So since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is comfort from his love, since there is participation in the Spirit, and since there is affection and sympathy, those are our realities in Christ. And I want to write this phrase down. We have encouragement because of our union with Christ. We have encouragement because of our union with Christ. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, he became your encouragement. He's the one who walks alongside you. The Spirit of Christ is living inside of you. He's inhabiting you. And in your union with Christ, when you became a recipient of the good news of Jesus Christ, of the gospel, you receive his encouragement. Why? Because you're united with him. But also, you have comfort because of God's love. We have comfort because of God's love in us. And the word love here is the word agape. You have phileo, which is brotherly love. You have storge, which is familial love. You have eros, which is selfish love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But the word that Paul is using here is the word agape. It's unconditional love. And we receive comfort by God's unconditional love, and then God's unconditional love resident in us is what allows us to serve and love other people. So we have encouragement because of our union with Christ, comfort because of God's love in us, and then we have participation because of the indwelling Spirit. The word participation is the word koinonia. We have fellowship. We are fellows in the same ship. We are connected. We are family. We have this unique fellowship, this koinonia that is God-ordained and God-initiated. We have this sense of community. And we bless God for that reality. And then we have affection and sympathy. Because of your union with Christ, because of God's love in you, and because of this community, this fellowship, this koinonia that you're invited into and you get to experience, God gives you affection and sympathy. And this word affection is like a deep, abiding, gut-wrenching affection. It is literally the bowels, your emotions. Last Wednesday night, Tanya and I received a late text. You know, anytime your phone buzzes on the nightstand late at night, you always are kind of wondering what's going on, what's happening. And so as we read the text, it was from Tanya's sister. And she wanted us to just be praying for our nephew's girlfriend, whose family was in Colorado on a family snow skiing trip. And this our nephew's girlfriend's in high school. And though we've never got to meet her personally, she was not there, of course, at Christmas time. And our nephew and this precious girl started dating, and so we felt connected to her through him. And the text said, be praying for her because she was snow skiing and hit a tree and broke 4 vertebrae. Talking about a high school student with such a bright future ahead. So everything stops. And we're overwhelmed by this deep, affectionate sympathy, this compassion. And so we joined hands right there in the moment, right there in bed, and just prayed for Haley and for her family as they navigate this season, that God's hand would be upon her. You see, there are times in your life when you're going to experience this deep, gut-wrenching affection for someone and this deep, abiding compassion and sympathy, and you'll know it's because of God's love in you. You'll know it's because of the indwelling Holy Spirit living inside of you. You'll know because it's the koinonia, this participation with the Spirit and your union with Christ. And what you'll discover is these realities of your relationship are your realities, but you've got to be willing to apply them. We were in Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be hosting a conference there for our executive pastor, Mega Metro, in April. And we were going there to prepare and meet with the leaders there to prepare for this big event. And I remember being at the lunch table. It was a big round table, and the programmer, the planner, who's the host of this resort, was talking us through all the details and said, well, you know, what you can expect in your meeting room, because I said, well, I want really the crescent experience where it's round tables, but you're seated kind of on 3/4 of it where you can face the speaker and the presenters, and I just want to have that connectivity at that table where you can connect with each other. And she was trying to describe what size her tables were for that environment, for that venue, and we were at a round table, and I said, well, is it similar to this? She said, well, similar, but a little bit larger, maybe 6 inches larger. Well, we didn't have a measuring tape, and then it hit me. I have an iPhone, and the iPhone has an app where whenever you're hanging a picture, you can use the iPhone app, and you can use, it's a level. You can level pictures. And I remember when I used that to level some pictures that I thought I saw a measuring tape on the app. But I've never used it. And I thought, well, let me pull it out. And I used it, and you push the button, and you just slide it across the table, push it again. It measured the distance. I doubled it because it was a table. I said, well, here's how big this table is. How'd you know that? I applied the app. Had the app and didn't know it. There are so many people who call themselves children of God, who've been born again, born into the family of God, adopted into God's forever family, filled by God's Holy Spirit, and have no idea what they have in Christ, their union with Christ, the Holy Spirit living inside of them, the agape love of God saturating their lives, and they are in union with Christ but haven't applied the reality of the relationship. If that's where you are this morning, let 2020 be your breakout year to apply the realities of your relationship. Here's essential number 2, and we're going quickly. Protect the unity of the body of Christ. Protect the unity of the body of Christ. I want you to notice that in verse 2, where Paul says, complete my joy. How? Bring in chapter 1, verses 27, 28, those realities. Chapter 2, verse 1, those realities of our relationship with Christ. Complete my joy now, based on those realities, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. What we'll discover in our journey through the book of Philippians is there was a threat in the church for disunity, and then there was a threat from without that was creating dissension and an attack upon the church. And the church of the living God is always under attack, either from within, division, dissension, or from without, a spiritual attack. And that's why we always have to protect the unity of the body of Christ. That's our responsibility. In fact, to become a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church, you go through a membership class. We went through it on April 15th, 2007. It was 3 hours long. Now it's 50 minutes. I mean, really? 50 minutes? It just took us a lot more to get connected in membership back then. Now it's a 50-minute experience. And we leverage technology and videos. But to become a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church, you have to sign a membership covenant. And one of the four items is, I will protect the unity of my church. That's a God thing, that we protect the unity of our church. Here Paul says, complete my joy by being of the same mind. How many of you saw J.J. Watt in action yesterday as the Texans brought home the victory? Yes. I thought you'd be on shouting ground. Can you imagine if J.J. Watt in overtime would have gone over to the other sideline where the Bills were and taken off his Texans jersey and put on a Bills jersey and started playing for their defense? How many of you would have been excited about that? Only Bills fans would be excited about that. Can you imagine? We're playing on the same team, wearing the same jersey, pointing in the same direction as children of God, taking off the Jesus jersey to go embrace another jersey to go a different direction. You wouldn't dream of that. Why? Because we protect the unity of the body of Christ. The same mind, the same love, in full accord. I love Pastor Ramon's message last Sunday. I was able to preach here last Sunday and do the Lord's Supper in English and then do the Lord's Supper in Spanish with an interpreter. And while Pastor Ramon was preaching, I was sitting right over here with Tanya and had an interpreter next to me. And Willie was interpreting everything Pastor Ramon was preaching. And I was getting in the rhythm. I could feel it. I could preach it in English. I could feel it. And Pastor Ramon used this analogy. He talked about the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River and how they were marching in order. And he just talked about that concept of unity is marching in harmony. Marching in harmony. And I think about how God has blessed us to be one church in four locations and how God has given us such favor in reaching our community for Christ. But if we're not careful, we will not march in harmony. So how's y'all's church doing out there? Well, how's y'all's church doing out there? How's your church doing over there? Champion Forest Baptist Church is one church and multiple locations. We're one church and we're wearing the same jersey and we're pointing in the same direction and we're depopulating the same hell so we can populate the same heaven. That's unity. And we are responsible to protect the unity of the body of Christ. And Paul goes so much deeper here. I have so much more to say. More preach than I have time. Let me give you essential number three. Live to benefit others. Live to benefit others. This is so practical. When Stephen Morris preaches here next Sunday, it's been so much fun tag teaming with Stephen Morris and Mark Lanier, and we'll have other pastors rotate in, and I'll be coming in more often in the Champions location and other campuses. It's such a joy to be able to know that at every campus in English and Spanish, the Word of God is being preached without compromise. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And I want to say to you this morning, this is not natural. We live in a selfie generation where selfie righteousness reigns. And it's all about me. It's all about mine. It's all about my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. It's all about my image, and that is our culture. But that's not Spirit-led, Spirit-filled of what God's calling us to do. And it's okay to have Instagram. I love Instagram. It's okay to have Facebook. It's okay to have Twitter and to leverage that for God's glory. But we're moving out of a selfie reality into an other-centered reality, where we start living in Christ because of our union with Christ and being filled by His Spirit and being saturated in God's agape love, that now we're living to benefit other people. And guess what it takes? Humility. Humility. I love how Rick Warren packages it. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. I love how one writer says, humility is the oil that makes the intersecting gears of human personalities turn without grinding each other. It is so natural to live to benefit self. It is supernatural live to benefit others. And what we're going to look at next Sunday, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following, is our model to follow is Jesus Christ. Jesus took on the form of a servant. Jesus reminds us that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we're going to notice next Sunday how he is the model for us to follow. He is the model of humility and the model of holiness.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.